You now tuned into the Meds, Drinks, and Chill podcast. Follow us at Meds, Drinks, and Chill on Instagram.
Yo, what's going on? It's the homie Mez. You tuned into another episode of Mez Drinks and Chill. Got the homie Ebony in the building.
What's up?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Just taking it easy and trying to get my mind and my money right.
I hear that, man. We on the Crown Royal tonight, right?
Yeah.
Cheers to that. Mez Drinks and Chill. Another episode. Boom. And we taking shots.
Just like that.
What'd you say you got going on?
Just working on finances. Like,
what's up
question
with finances?
For you. What's your relationship with money?
My relationship with money. I got a lot of respect for money. I value money. Like, it makes the world go round. I'm pretty much like a saver more than I am a spender. And I try to spend my money on things that can make me money as opposed to just... Well, remember Baby Boy when he was like, guns and butter?
Yeah.
I like to spend my money on guns, basically, instead of butter. And that doesn't mean literal guns. I don't know if you never saw the money. It's just basically saying assets as opposed to liabilities. What's your relationship with money? Why you ask that, maybe?
So I asked you that because recently I joined a money club.
Mm-hmm.
So the money club is called Fuck Debt. And Basically, it's a group of women who get together on a regular basis to talk about finances. It's like a safe space, if you will,
mm-hmm.
where you talk about what you're trying to do with your finances, where you're trying to go, what you've done wrong, what works, what doesn't work. Just safe space to talk about money and mostly getting out of consumer debt, not including student loans. Fuck Sally Mae.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Like, that's one thing.
Nobody's paying Sally Mae.
I did my time in college, and everything I did, I paid out of my own pocket. Even though it was killing me. After a while, I was like, yo, the money I'm spending on college, and thank God I didn't take no loans or nothing. Now, like, I bounced back everything I paid out of my pocket, and I don't have no student loan, never had any student loan. And there was a lady who I knew, right? She was real mad one day because her daughter acquired, like, $75,000 worth of student loans. And when she came back from school, because she went, when you go to school out of state?
Out of state tuition,
yeah. So she was trying to tell her daughter, like, stay in the house. Like, you can live in the house with me until you knock out some of this. And her daughter didn't want to do it. But so what do you have to do to join this club you in?
I got an invitation. It's like a small group.
You
got
to be invited.
Set it up. But I think anybody could set up a money club. Like if you wanted to set one up with your homeboys or with your family or whatever, it's just a safe space to talk about money and actually have like an accountability partner.
Yeah.
Like, okay, where are you on your journey? And it's a judgment-free zone. So it's not like, oh, you know, I swiped a few times real quick.
Right.
You know, nobody's judging you for that. It's just like, okay, well, what caused you to do that? How are you feeling about it? Like, after you get therapy, because I know you had a therapy episode.
I did. Shout out to Kia. Yeah.
The next thing you should do is get a financial planner. Like, those two things. Like, once you get your mind right, then you, like, ready to get the money right.
Yeah.
So get therapy and
now, question, do you have to have a lot of money to have a financial planner?
No. I thought that. That's something that I had to learn is that you don't have to have a lot of money. One of the first things they ask you is, what's your relationship with money?
Oh, is that why you asked me that?
Yeah. Because it was a weird question. I had never really thought about that.
I never thought about that. Yeah.
You know, about money and spending it, having it, how I feel if I don't have it, how I feel if it's fucked up,
mm-hmm.
or if it's, you know,
that shit could ruin your mood. Yeah.
It could.
Now, so as long as you have finances, you can have a financial planner.
As long as you making money, like as long as you have income coming in, whether that income is a small amount or a large amount, the purpose of going to a financial planner is making sure that you are being a good steward with the amount that you get.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought it was cool. I like joining the group.
Right.
Are they on
Instagram? Is it something like on the low underworld type shit, or is it something? Any information you give on them, or is this something they'd probably...
Kind of like underground.
Okay,
it's like
cool.
The Underground Railroad.
Right, yeah.
But a lot of money clubs are like that, but there's definitely some things you can follow. You can follow the Budgetnista. Like, mm-hmm. if you just go, like, and Google in debt-free, you get, like, Dave Ramsey. That's, like, the best... That's, like, a starter book. That's where I started, actually. So,
mm-hmm.
it didn't start with the money club. It started with me being in some nigga debt. Do you know what nigga debt is?
No, I'm like, what the fuck is nigga debt?
So, a lot of women will not cop to this, but debt that I was in behind a guy. Nigga debt.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what? Like,
I can't really get into that.
So give an example, like not your personal example, but what kind of nigga debt could I give to a woman? Like, what you mean? Like, if I don't have a job and I'm just living off a woman, that type of shit, you mean?
No, like...
Or you talking about them homeless niggas who will be...
Not homosexuals.
Homeless.
No, hobosexuals. Like, hobo. They look for somewhere to live. They
Yo, I'm out of here.
No, it's an internet thing. Put it in.
Hobosexual.
I got it from Instagram.
Stop it.
Serious.
Yo, that's a new one. So, is... Niggas who don't have this is the craziest shit I've ever heard in my life, yo. Because I'm like, I didn't say hobosexual. Niggas who don't have cribs who fuck their way into a home, basically.
Yes, hobosexual. They are hobo and they get sexual with whoever got a house.
Shout out to them niggas.
Yeah. Somebody get that king a drink.
That's crazy. Yeah, get that nigga a drink.
It's real. It's women. It's homosexuals.
Yo, any hobosexuals that want to come on the show and talk about how y'all finessing women, hit me on Mez Drinks and Chill on Instagram.
It's women can be homosexuals too.
But that's normal. Yeah, like we can. Yeah, like because niggas could fall for that. I don't see how a woman could fall for that.
Man, it works all kind of ways. But that everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people have had like some type of relationship debt. Mm-hmm. Especially if you were in like maybe a long-term relationship and maybe y'all went into some debt together and then the relationship goes sideways and like,
wait, I know some homosexuals now that we're thinking about it. Cause there's plenty of niggas who I know who drop their girl off at work
and take her car.
Yeah. And don't put no gas in it.
Don't wash it. Don't nothing.
Don't do nothing to it. And then pick her up late from work. Shout out to y'all niggas, man. We need more. Come to the show. Come fuck with us at Mez Drinks and Chill. We respect y'all out here for finessing these women. Nah, I'm fucking with
ladies,
you. I'm fucking with y'all.
Look, I do not co-sign homosexuals.
Women going to be in the DMs like, how you going to say that?
They are.
I'm just joking. I'm fucking with y'all. Niggas like that ain't shit.
So speaking of that and guys being homosexual and just money in general, like you're engaged, about to be married. How does the finance work? Is it separate or do you guys manage the money together?
Both. Like, and just because, like, one thing I always tell anybody in a relationship is don't worry about how somebody else does their relationship. Do what works for you. Like, we do joint accounts and we have our own separate accounts. Like, we save money together. We do things together. Business. Like, money's the most important thing to me as far as, you know, the top two things that fuck up relationships is infidelity and money. And I think money might be the number one thing.
Money is like, if you guys are not on one accord about money, that's like a form of infidelity. Like you cheating with the dollars. Like you hiding how you spending money.
Oh, no, that's
hiding
whack.
I don't,
if I got to hide shit from you, I don't want to be with you. I don't want to do nothing with you. And that's not even just like a relationship, I'm talking about even friendships. Like if me and my homeboy are doing business and I got to sit there and do sneaky shit with money and stuff, or he got to do, I don't want to fuck with you.
Nah, it's a dub. Yeah. It's a wrap. So you guys manage together. Who manages the money? Do you
both of us
sit down and sit down together and do the bills?
Yeah. Cause we're one, like we're literally one. So, everything we do, we talk about it, we put it on the table, it is what it is, like...
It's a lot of dudes that's gonna hit you and say no.
As far as what?
Money. They're gonna be like, no, everything separate. What's mine is mine, what's hers is hers.
And that's cool. That if that works for another nigga, that's cool. Just don't hit me telling me what I'm doing is wrong. Nigga, do whatever works for you. Stay out my shit with that, like, nigga, all right, so what do you think? Is there a, like, what... What's your advice?
I prefer joint, even though I did get burnt one time.
So as far as like, y'all won't have your own separate accounts at all? Y'all both keep y'all shit together?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to have my own separate account for my own thing.
Yeah.
You have your separate account, but I want us to be able to sit down and communicate about money. There needs to be a joint account. I don't want to be like you Venmoing me or Cash Apping me because we ate a meal or two cars on the table.
Nah,
no, it's people who live like that. You never observe that with
for
couples?
I don't because I really be minding my business. And I don't care about what the next nigga's doing in his relationship. Like, I be seeing shit on Instagram like, yo, why you care what the next nigga doing in his relationship? That might work for them because there's some niggas who they wifey might be taking care of everything, and then the nigga might be sitting at home all day. And if that works in your relationship, God bless.
Yeah, like, stay at home. I don't think there's anything wrong with stay-at-home dads, for the record. So, like, if it makes sense for someone to be at home because of the cost of childcare or whatever the kids have going on, somebody should be at home, and I don't think it has to be the woman by default. Nah. But I think that gets back to the finances. Like, you guys have to sit down and have that conversation about money to say, okay, here is where we're trying to go financially. Here's where we are. Here's our goals.
Yeah.
Do we agree about it? Because the first thing you have to do is get on the same page about your relationship with money.
Facts.
Not necessarily how you spend your money, but what's your relationship with it? Like, does money drive you? Are you upset when you don't have it? There are a lot of people who, if money is not constantly coming, they are
Depressed, mad. They take it out on their relationship.
They all over the place. But what I learned about my relationship with money is I know how to be happy with a little bit of money, but I also know how to be happy with a lot of money.
As far as what's coming in?
It's what's coming in. What I had to learn is what I do with it once it comes in.
That's the
That's what dictates your feelings. Like, a lot of times people who are controlled by money, they spend... They have really bad, I won't say bad, they have spending habits that require them to always have to have money coming in for them to continue to live without having the emotional stress of worrying about it. They just want to be able to spend and not think about it.
Yeah.
But there's no such thing as spending money and not think about it. Even Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates think about every dollar they spend.
Guaranteed.
Because you have to.
Yeah. My pops used to always tell me, like, it's not how much you make, it's how much you spend that can really fuck you up. Because money's relative. Like, it's people who might be making $2 million a year, but their rent, I mean, their expenses might be $1.95 million. Like, you're really not. So, are you really rich if you're living check to check? Like, you might be making $2 million, but you're living check to check. And it might be somebody who's making $50,000 a year living check to check. Y'all in the same boat.
Yeah, so
y'all just might be looking a little better.
Random fact about me, I live in an apartment. I don't own a house. And I live in an apartment because I am very fortunate that my rent is, like, dumb cheap.
Yeah.
So I pay, like, $8.75. I have two bedrooms, two baths. I'm in a great area of town. I just lucked up.
Yeah.
Okay? So for me, instead of putting that money into a mortgage, I put that money into my 401k. I put it into buying stocks and investing into my mutual fund because I've been working since I was 16 and I want to retire at a certain age and then just do other things. I don't want to stop working, but I want to be off the clock and not having to work as hard. So a lot of people will look at me and say, oh, you should own a house or you should do this. But to me, that house, it doesn't make sense for me. I'm getting ready to be 41 years old. And I don't need a 30-year mortgage. That puts me working harder to pay that mortgage down. So the only way I would do it is if it made sense. Like, if my rent goes over $1,000, it has to make financial sense for me to make that investment. And still, I probably would be looking like a townhome or a condo. To be honest, I would probably buy in the hood because I would be trying to buy into $90,000 and, you know, put a certain amount down. So, you know.
You know, one thing I do respect that a lot of foreigners do, like, you'll see Mexicans, Indians, a lot of foreigners, period, just do. They'll come in here, it'll be like three families in like a two-bedroom crib. Hold it down. They might be kicking out $200 a month each, but they stacking for like 3-4 years. And then before you know it, niggas is living in a dope crib. They might open up a business. They're doing shit that matters. Like, one thing about a lot of, especially black community, we'll not stick together.
So I don't necessarily always agree with that because I see families that stick together. Like within my family, we have a family where everybody is still together. Like the mom added on to the house and the kids are still in the house.
That's seldom though. There's so many people who I know will not do that. I'd be like, yo, it could be even siblings. Like, I know siblings who won't do that shit. I'm like, it's four of y'all. Why y'all got four different cribs?
Yeah, just everybody get in one crib. Yeah, and they be
like, nah,
money.
I can't get along with I'm like, my nigga, look at the big picture. Y'all probably not even, y'all could do this shit for 2 years straight and stack every dollar you get. You might fuck around and buy a house cash.
But remember I said, first you got to get your mind right and get the therapy so you can get the finances right. Yeah. A lot of times, living together and investing like that, there may be infighting going on in the family and things why they're not just really mentally on that accord. You really have to get your mind right when you start thinking about making smart financial decisions. And even some of the decisions that I actually thought were smart, once you sit down and talk to a financial planner, you learn, that's not really not that smart.
Yeah.
Like, that's really not a good thing to do. So just learning about money, I think everybody should take some time. If you curious about it, like, really just sit down and write down, like, how much you have coming in.
And how much you spend.
How much you have spending. But don't beat yourself up about it. That's the hard part. Because when you start looking at what's coming in versus what's going out, you're like, you know, damn, I'm just wasting money on this or this or that.
Yeah.
And that's not what a budget is about when you sit down. I had to learn that, too.
And people think it's a bad thing when you budget. Like, all right, so if I tell somebody, like, I ain't got it right now, that don't mean I don't have money. That means I don't have the money to spend. Exactly, for that. That's what I'm talking about. I might have two times the amount of money that you're talking about, but I'm not. I don't have it to spend it on this right now. And as far as budgeting, you said something. No, matter of fact, you said something earlier before we started even taping. You said something about spending to make you feel good for the moment.
Oh, yeah. Like that popping tags, man. It's nothing like.
It's a thrill.
It's a thrill. It's like a quick high.
Yeah.
It's what I imagine smoking crack might feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're just swiping. That's one of the things you learn when you start reading about, like, getting out of debt. Mm-hmm. They tell you to spend cash. Man, do you know how bad it feel to, like, spend a large amount of money in cash? You start looking.
Yeah.
Or you break 100 and you, like.
Oh, that's the worst feeling. Like, when you got a couple hundreds and you break 100, you're like, damn. Because once you break a $100 bill, it's over for that shit.
It's dead.
It's dead.
But a car, you don't feel that. Nah. You don't see it. So that's one of the first things it tells you is to try to spend cash when you can.
Yeah, that's dope. Because when I look at my bank statement sometimes, or like online banking, I look and it'll be like $3, $7, $8. And you sit there and you total up, you're like, yo, that was $97 I just spent in like 2 days. And it's like on stupid shit, though. Like, it might
be the cafeteria and the vending machines that work will kill you.
All the time. Yeah, nah, that's terrible. You're right about that.
Yeah, listen, because now the cars, the vending machine take cars. Before, you used to have to be like, yo, let me get a dollar so I can get a soda.
Yeah.
Soda is $1.75 in the vending machine.
Them shits used to be 85 cents, 90 cents. Now them shits, it's up there.
And you just go, oh, I can tap my card or tap my Apple Pay, swipe
Apple Pay.
My card.
I do that shit all the time.
And it authorized you now, like, for, like, $3 or $4. Yeah. So, oh, let me get some chips, a candy bar. Because you see.
That's what I'm saying. And that transaction itself might be, like, $4. You do that shit a couple times a day, that shit start to add up.
Yeah, emotional spending is real. Like, spending
it
feels good at the moment. And there's nothing wrong with having nice things. I think when I start talking about money and finances, people think, oh, you have to restrict yourself. No, but you have to be honest with yourself. I know I like eating out, so I can't eat out and drive a new car.
Yeah. Eating, most of my money goes to food.
All of my money goes to food and clothes.
Yeah. And the thing about clothes is I buy so much shit. Like, I'll go to be like, yo, this sweater's dope. These sneakers are dope. And then you never even wear the shit. Before you know it, it's like, because I'll have a closet full of clothes, and I'll probably rock the same four or five different, like, jeans, four or five different sweaters, and I never touch the other shit because I don't really go out as much as I used to.
It's the 20-80 rule. 20% of the clothes get 80% of the wear.
That's a fact.
In your closet. So I turn my closet. So I like clothes, but I don't hoard and keep clothes.
I do.
So
that's my problem.
I go through, and if I'm going through the season and I haven't wore it, I sell it or I give it away.
Yeah.
I follow a one closet rule. Everything has to fit in the space that I've designated for clothes. If something got to come in and there's no space, then something has to go out. So
I need to follow that rule.
I put things in place so that I don't feel bad about spending money, but I put parameters around what I'm doing because that helps me control my spending and I don't feel bad about it. Boom, I sell a couple pairs of shoes and then I'll get what I really want.
I let go of a bunch of my Jordans recently. And I remember one of the dudes, I sold my Olympic 7s. I probably wore them like 2-3 times. Yeah, but I was just tired of, like, I would look at them every day. I step in my closet with like 4 or 5 sneakers that I never even put on my feet. Just bought them just because that thrill, like
that
you
was
just
hot.
Saying. It was hot. Everybody, I got a chance to buy them. I was like, I'm going to buy them. Fuck it. It felt good for the minute, but afterwards, I'm like, I don't even wear these shits. So I sold them to some dude, I think it was on eBay or one of them little apps that you could buy shit off of. he linked up with me. He was like, yo, are you sure these shits are real? I'm like, yeah, because I only sold them for like $90. I bought them for like $2 something. I was like, yeah. He put them on. He was like, oh, these shits are real. He's like, why are you selling them for so cheap? I'm like, nigga, do you want them or not?
Like, take the shoes.
Yeah.
I do that too. A lot of people get caught up when you start. So once you start getting into like analyzing your finances, one thing you also start getting into is cutting out wasting your life in general. So when you start thinking about money, it'll make you start like downsizing other things. Like, this shit gotta go. It's just too much. Cause everything you look at now look like a price tag. That's a fact. A wasted dollar.
Yeah.
And so I just try to sell it to get it gone. I'm not trying to make money. I'm not out here flipping clothes and shoes. I need it to go so I can bring something else in that I really want.
Because when I was selling, he was like, yo, you could sell these for double the amount you bought them for. I was like, I don't care about the money, man. I just want to get it off of me right now. Like,
yeah, but it's the time and a place to care about the money.
That's a fact. But I should have cared about it when I was buying them. You should have not spent the two, whatever,
on the shoes.
Yeah.
But, like, that's just the thing, you know, you learn about budgeting. And I think that's really important when you're in a relationship, just having that conversation about money and understanding how that person feels. Like, at what point do you think it's cool to have the money conversation in a relationship?
Early.
How early?
Like, almost.
Before sex or after sex?
I mean, in an ideal situation, it should be before. I don't know. Because, I don't know. That could go either way, you know what I mean? But early on, because people.
Okay, before raw sex or after raw sex?
Probably before, ideally before.
Before raw sex.
Yeah.
So saying before sex is hard because it might just be, you might not know if it's going to be a thing, but at the point,
let me give a message to the homies too. Fellas, stop fucking with these broke girls. Like, y'all got to be tired of this shit by now. Like, I see a lot of niggas just be fucking with a chick just because she bad, but she ain't got no bread to her. Even if she don't have, like, bread immediately, what's her goals? Like, figure that type of shit out. Because y'all niggas be caught up. Y'all be having baby mamas who dead broke, who can't provide shit for you.
She been gonna suck them dry. He don't even know what.
That's what I'm saying. Like, think with the first head before. Now, I'm saying this as an older head. Like, before, of course, I wasn't thinking like that, too. But y'all got to stop fucking with broke. The same way these chicks now be like, yo, I'm not fucking with a nigga if he don't got no bag. You got to look at a chick the same way.
I think that's fair. Yeah. I think that's fair. And not only do you have a bag, what are you doing with the bag? Like, to me, giving back is extremely important. I want to get my finances in order so that I can be able to do the things I want to do for my family and to also help others in the community, just to be able to be charitable. Like, that's the goal at the end of the day, to, like, have a legacy for me personally is to be able to, I don't have kids, so to be able to leave something on the earth for people after I'm gone.
And chicks, too. Like, stop fucking with the nigga who got the bag who ain't doing nothing. Like you said,
what is
he doing
with
that bag?
He
buying a section and buying designer gear. He going to jail in a couple years. Like,
it's so many dudes that blow through money and get popped. Don't have no lawyer money.
Oh, trust me. No bail money.
No, nothing.
Nothing.
Like, like no assets.
Facts.
All their kids got is clothes. They ain't bought no property.
Yeah.
They ain't done nothing. It's really important just in relationships to have somebody, whether it be male or female.
Some foundation.
Some foundation about
stability.
What we doing with this money.
Yeah.
What are we doing with this money?
And ladies, if y'all see a nigga who got a bag, like, stop telling him to buy you designer shit. Like, take that bag and be. No. All right, so hold on. So if a nigga's an idiot and you're going to take advantage of him being an idiot, take advantage of him being an idiot. Don't get pregnant by the nigga. Don't move too forward with the nigga. Like, play the nigga for the sucker that he is. I'm with that. But I'm talking about the women who are really trying to be something with the nigga. Like, if a nigga got a bag and you see he a dummy, do something with that money for him. Like,
yes.
A nigga will respect you more for that. Like, yo, this chick actually helped me build the foundation. So that way, God forbid, if he do get locked, or you can even take him out the streets. Like, you might build a foundation to where he won't have to do anything illegal no more.
Yeah,
but one of y'all got to make a decision.
Somebody got to do something. Somebody
That's a fact.
Some
one
moves.
Of y'all got to do something.
I think, you know, a guy, I'm very old school. So, like, if we are going to cohabitate, I am not going to pay for the roof over our head. I'm not going to do it. Like, I'll take the side bills. Even if I make more money, I'm not going to do it, because I think that a man has to be in a position to be a man and to be the head of the household. And to be the head of the household, you need to pay for the roof over our head. period.
So what are you doing with your money?
Saving it.
Okay, so you're doing something positive with your money.
Now,
okay.
I'm not just blowing it, and I'm making sure that that money works for us as a unit.
So then y'all on the same
team. I'm not just bleeding him dry. Yeah, we on the same team.
Oh, yeah,
but
that's nothing.
I want you to have that responsibility of taking care of that.
Yeah, we spoke about that on season one with Asia, I believe, and she was like, oh, an alpha male has to pay the bills in the house, and her money's her... Don't call me out, because Asia jumping my DMs like, that's not what I said, nigga. But she pretty much said that a man got to pay for the cost of living and stuff. But
if we splitting, we're roommates. If we're splitting everything down the middle 50-50, mm-hmm. we roommates. Mm-hmm. I want a damn roommate.
Yeah.
Like, because as a woman, you kind of get shorted. Like, we got to go down the middle 50-50. I probably got to be cooking, but fucking, you're doing... sucking, cleaning.
Yeah.
Like, and if it's kids, taking care of the kids. So, like, I'm getting shorted. No, mm-hmm. I'm not getting shorted.
But you're doing something positive with the money.
Yeah, you got to be doing something positive with the money. Exactly. Fellas, I'm not saying that you should pay and she should just go blow her money on bags and cars and shoes. I'm saying that you should pay and you guys should handle that money, that other money, accordingly.
Exactly.
For me, totally it's one pool. It's one pool of money.
Yeah.
What about, like, if a guy makes less than me, I could do it. I could do it. I make a considerable amount of money. So I could deal with a guy making less than me, but he's still got to pay that mortgage.
Let's say you're making $100,000, right? And the guy's making $30,000. Oh, matter of fact, I seen a meme on Instagram. I think the woman just became a doctor or something. I can't remember what her occupation is, but people were killing the dude because he was like a Foot Locker manager or something.
What's wrong with that? He's going to work every day.
That's what I said. But the women were killing him in the comments, like, "Oh, you better leave him for another doctor." And I'm like, "What the? Why are y'all worried about her happiness?"
No, they probably on one accord. Like, I could be in that situation.
Yeah,
because we're going to live within our means, first of all. We're not going to be living...
hold on. That's what we need to talk about, because there's a lot of people who don't live in their means.
Yo, the thrifty food budget. So Google it. It's a thing called the thrifty food budget. And the thrifty food budget says 30% of your income is what should be dedicated to where you live. Anything more than that, you are starting to move into what's house poor. And most people spend 40 to 65% of their income on housing. Just the structure that they live in. I believe in a 30% rule.
And that's a lot of money.
I believe
that you spend a year.
Yeah. So think about that. Like, if you had to go 30% after you save 401k, benefits, everything. Not gross, net.
Yeah.
What you net, 30% of that monthly is what... You shouldn't be outside of that for the place that you live in.
Yeah.
But most people are double that.
Yeah, the
average
person.
So if you're making 30 and I'm making 100K, we're not making 130. We're probably clearing 70.
Exactly.
So that means that we need to be within our means, which kind of puts us, that really level us out when you break it all down.
Right.
It's not... Oh, I'm catching a bag, and he's just out here being a Foot Locker manager.
Yeah, no, like I was saying earlier, like somebody might be making $100,000, right? But they might have in a year, let's say they're making $100,000 a year, but they might be living check to check based on.
It's a bunch of people like that.
There's so many. That's the average person in America, probably. Like they live check to check, and so you know, being rich or being broke is relative. It just depends on your income to debt ratio.
The person who I talked to about money is an older man, and he said he has not taken a raise in salary since 1997. He's still living off his 1997 salary. So every time he get a new job, get an increase or whatever, that money automatically goes to retirement. He does not touch it. They still living in their original house that they bought in the 90s that's paid for. He's like, I don't, that money, I've been living off of X. I'm going to continue to live off X.
Right.
And you know, once you hit a certain amount of income, what refund check, what tax refund check?
Yeah.
Every year I have to like write a check.
Yeah.
Like that's what people don't understand. People are like, oh, I want more money. But what are you going to do with it? If you're going to have the same shitty habits with more money, more money's not going to help you.
Nah. It's what you're spending. Like you might, if you get a, let's say a $30,000 raise that year, and then you acquire $27,000 more in debt, nigga, that wasn't a win.
It's not a win.
But that's usually what people do. They make more money, like, oh, shit, now I can spend more money. It's like, no, nigga, like, you really need to cut back on your spending.
I'm trying to work towards now paying off consumer debt and, like, scaling back how much of my money actually goes outside of my house. And then also making sure I'm spending a certain amount of my money is hitting black hands.
Okay.
When it comes to certain things, like, even if I'm going to, like, buy, let's say, a luxury item, shoes, bag, or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to look around. Who in here black can help me so they can get the commission?
Yeah.
If I can get the service from a person of color, I'm going to try to get the service from a person of color.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, my homegirl Brandy has this, from the horoscope episode from this season. She has, like, she does, like, body oils, the moisturizers and stuff. Orange Moon. She's on Instagram. Y'all can look up. I have bought one of her products, the moisturizer. That shit is dope as hell. Like,
yeah.
It's a men's product, too. She got it in both. But that, I just want to shout her out on that because I bought it from her when we did the episode. And when I started using it, I'm like, yo, this shit is really dope.
A lot of people try to say that black people don't support black people. And I think that's a false narrative. I think we do support people. I know that I do, but that's all people talk about. Like, talk about the good experiences. Like, there's a place, and I'm going to plug them if that's cool.
Yeah, yeah,
The Right Fit For You. They a place that come out and put a guy comes out and puts TVs up in surround sound.
Yeah.
Black business. I went onto their website. I booked an appointment. They came. They put the TV on the wall, put the cords on the wall, cleaned up, left, was on time.
Yeah.
I referred them to at least 3 or 4 people at work. And when I referred them, I didn't say, yo, this is a black-owned business. I said, this is a good business.
Yeah.
Start with that. This is a good business. And this person does X, Y, Z. All their rates was up front.
Yeah.
Like, support good business and shout out, like, the good businesses, because we go into these corporate places all the time and they do us dirty. Best Buy just did me dirty last week.
Yeah.
And you don't get online and complain about that and say corporations are bad.
Nah.
You just pick this one time that you had. How many people you ever dealt with a contractor?
Yeah, hell yeah. They the biggest scam ripping. They
it's
the worst.
It's hard to find a good reputable honest contractor, but the first thing somebody would say if that contractor was black was, this is why I don't do business with black people, not knowing that that's going to be the shitty experience you might have with contractors in general.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Modern Solutions, my homeboy Jason got a great service that they'll come put up TVs and everything too.
Shout out to plugging a black business.
That's a fact. Shout out to Jason, Eastside.
But, you know, the finance thing is just hard. I think if you in a relationship, before we start having raw sex, I think I would want us to go sit down and talk to a financial planner. Like, if we crossing into to raw sex, I think we should have some real conversations about money.
Yeah.
And sometimes those conversations are hard to have without a third party, because you got one person saying this is the right way, and then another person saying this is the right way. Like,
and a lot of times with those conversations are hard because people ain't going to be honest.
No.
That's the worst part of it. That's why it's so hard to do it. And that'll run somebody away. Like, you might really like somebody, but you don't want to show them that you broke. And you'd be like, yo, I'm out of here before I show them. I'll leave this shit before I show them I'm broke.
That's
or
dumb.
In debt. Like, some, you might not even be broke. You might have liquid cash, but you might have $30,000, $40,000 in debt. And that could scare somebody.
I think debt scares people, but debt is, it's easy to get into, it's hard to get out of, but I think as long as you have a plan, I think it's okay. Like, if I meet a guy and he's got some debt, like, I'm cool with that. As long as he got a plan and he's working towards doing something about the debt, cool. Mm-hmm. If he like, hey, yo, I'm in debt, so it ain't gonna be no steak dinners this month.
Yeah.
Like, I'm gonna be cooking at the house for you. I'm cool with that because he actually has a plan. I know that there are chicks that would not be cool with that, but I would
Instagram.
Be cool with that because he's... That's dumb.
I know, but that's reality now. The fake shit has become reality now. Like, bitches look at that shit and be like, nigga, what? Take me to Ruth's Chris. Take me to Morton's and all this other shit. It's like, nigga, that shit ain't reality. Like, a nigga might do that up front. Most the average person might do that for you up front when y'all first dating and shit. But when it comes time to it, after a while, that shit gonna cut out.
Nah, I don't think it should be about how much money he has. I think it should be about what he's really doing.
Right.
And does he have a plan for money? And does he have a plan for me and our future with money?
I totally agree.
If you got a bag and you just being dumb, like, I'm probably going to pass, to be honest.
That's smart. But a lot of these chicks ain't because of what they see. Instagram really fucking up a lot of shit.
You think so?
Hell yeah.
But it's get out of debt all over the internet.
That shit ain't popping though. They don't want to see get out of debt. They want to see you blow that bag. That shit don't make sense. Like, think about how much positive shit is on the internet. That shit gets blown by. You put up some positive shit, the algorithm ain't even going to fuck with you. Like, you put up some stupid, ignorant shit, that shit will be World on your timeline all day. Exactly.
So, like, a couple of years ago, I went to Cuba, and I remember
I love you Cuba,
listening
yo.
To the episode with, how do you say her name?
Quish?
Quish.
Yeah.
I came back from that, and that was part of what made me want to, like, yeah. really get my financial situation together, because I saw people that were so happy
yeah.
with so little.
Yeah.
And I was there. I was cut off from the internet, no phone.
Yo, that's the best
feeling. $2 beers, drinking yeah. Presidente
exactly.
all day.
Yeah, you be chilling. Cuba's beautiful. Like, Trump trying to fuck shit up with Cuba, but Cuba's such a beautiful place. Like, the people are always happy, in a good mood. Like, everything's so chill out there.
It is, and that just made me realize that you can really be happy with less.
Facts. As long as you got what you need, which is a meal, some shelter, and clothing, that's really all you need in life.
What do you think about, like, passing down money, like inheritance?
That's important. Like, I want to build generational wealth. Like, my pops came here, like, as everybody knows, I'm an immigrant. I came out here when I was 2 years old. My pops came through here, built the foundation, paid off a house. He got a house back home and a house here. That's generational wealth. Like, now I have that. He's going to pass that down to me and my family. I own a house, pass that down to my son, hopefully, when we get it paid. That's how you build wealth. Like, imagine if you have a place right now. Let's say you have a house, your apartment, you said you pay, like, let's just say roughly $900 a month. Imagine you can keep that money.
Man, listen.
You'd be fucking loaded.
I could get some things done. And I think that's another thing. Like, the whole point of buying a house is yeah. For it to be an asset for really you to pass down to the next generation. It's really exactly. not for you to get anything out of that.
Yeah.
That's for you to pass down to the next generation. Y'all, please stop selling y'all grandma's houses,
yo,
auntie's houses.
Stop.
I don't care if it's in a hood. It's a piece of property.
My dad gets solicited. Me and my dad laugh about that shit all the time. Like, they'll call him all the time. Like, yo, we'll buy your house for $250,000. And my dad's like, what I'm going to do with that $250,000?
Nothing in Charlotte.
Nothing at all. He's like, but if I keep that and pass it down to my son, he passed it down to his son. That's like generations of wealth.
Of people not having to stress about money.
That's a fact. And that's a lot of money, like you said. But most people, they're at least 40 to 50% of their salary goes to the cost of living of their house.
Just imagine if you had that money free and clear to save. You could stop working. You can invest in
a business.
What do
you think the average home mortgage or rent is right now for the average person?
Oh, like, I can tell you that because that's my industry.
All right.
In Charlotte, the average for a one-bedroom is roughly about $1,100 for rent.
So let's just say $1,100. All right, so just average $1,000. You saving that every month. Like, my son.
That's 12 stacks in
a year.
That's
12 stacks a year. You could put that towards anything. Even if you decide not to do anything with it, you could travel the world. You can do anything with saving that money, like, you can open up a business. You can build more generate. You can buy another crib.
You can buy another crib. And so, like, I want to, my grandmother's house.
Yeah.
My father has his house, you know, so if something should ever happen to her, I'm like, no, don't sell the house. Like, go see an attorney, put your house in a trust. I don't have children, but my cousin has kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, bet. The house can go to his kids.
Right.
Like, don't be selfish and be like, I'm the only one who helped or came around here. Like,
yeah.
You got to make it about the family. But then again, you know, like, to get the finances right, you got to get the mental right.
Yeah.
The two really go together. And it's been a rough journey, but, you know, I've enjoyed working towards getting my finances together. I have pitfalls, but, you know, yeah. It happens, and you work through it. It's good to hear that you say, you know, you and your fiance, y'all sit down and do it together. Because a lot of people never, ever talk about money. Was it hard the first time?
Not for me, because you can really, to me, I'm not a sensitive person, so you could talk to me about anything. And I'm always, like, my pops was big on financial. Like, he since day one, he always preached, like, like I told you, he's like, it's not what you make, it's what you spend that can really make or break you. So he's always been teaching me financial literacy as a kid. Even like, I would spend, I'm in the throwback era, like, I remember he came in my room, this is a quick story, he came in my room and he saw I had like 10 throwbacks in my room with the matching hats, the sneakers, and I used to be stupid and leave the price tags on them. When I tell you, that nigga had, almost had a heart attack, like, you spending $500 for a fucking jersey? Like, and he would just sit me down and talk to me, like, yo, this is what's important in life, this is what's not. Like the Guns and Butter episode, I mean, part from Baby Boy. He just broke shit down to me, and I always had an understanding of like, what money is and what it could do for you. So, to me, you could talk to me about anything. Like, and he's very straightforward, so I've never been sensitive. So, anybody, like, whenever she talked to me about anything, I just put it straightforward.
Do you talk to your, since you have your finances in order, do you talk to your homeboys? Do guys talk about money? I know chicks do.
We don't talk about emotions. We definitely talk about money, though. That's one thing we definitely talk about. But
like just getting money or like I'm in all this debt or what to do?
But the thing about it is you can't really, unless a person really wants to do it, you can't really tell them anything. Like I can tell people all the time, like, yo, you should do this with your money. Yo, you should do that with your money. Don't spend it on that. I definitely give the information. Like, I feel like my duty is to give the information. What you do with that information is totally on you. But at least you can say I gave you the information.
Do you invite your homeboys out if you know he fucked up? Like, or do you just leave him out?
What you mean as far as like?
Like, money. Like, do you decide, like, I'm not going to invite this homeboy to do XYZ because I know his paper ain't really right?
Nah, I don't do that type of corny shit. Like, if I fuck with you, I don't even look at, I don't look at none of that shit. Like, if I fuck with you, I eat, you eat. I don't look at that type of shit. Like, if I really fuck with you. But now at this age, like, I'm not going to be friends with no nigga who's down and out either now.
I think that happens sometimes with women, like, because you might end up, like, footing the bill or whatever. You like, nah, yeah. I can't. Like, you ain't got it together, and I'm definitely not inviting you to do this. One, I know you don't need to really be spending this money like this.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to pay for you. Right. So when you start growing financially, it's some growing pains, too, with that. With guaranteed. Your circle.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
But just finances is hard.
That shit is important, man. Like, I remember I hit you earlier. You was like, I was like, what you want to talk about? He's like, yeah, let's talk about finances. I'm like, we doing that.
It'll be interesting to see the feedback you get on this.
It should be good. I mean, everybody, finance is something that everybody needs to learn about. Like, financial literacy is important.
I'll reach out and see if the financial planner, like, I think that'll be dope for you to actually have, like, a professional come on and, like, talk about, like, how to really manage finances. Because I think that's one of the dope things about this podcast is that you're giving people information. Yeah. Information about therapy, information about what it's like to come to this country as an immigrant, talking about racism. Like, you're covering all topics that's important, and people are really tuned in. So we'll see if we can get you linked up with a financial planner.
Hell yeah. If they want to fuck with me. Anybody you know who got any great information that wants to talk, just let me know. I appreciate you coming through, Ebony.
I know it wasn't as spicy as last time. This was a more serious
perfect
topic.
Information, yeah.
Good information.
This is something that's going to stick to their ribs like the therapy episode.
Shout out to you, Mace.
By the way, her shirt says Coretta and Cardi B.
You're a mixture of both?
Yeah. What's that? Ratchet and righteousness, basically.
Exactly.
That's a beautiful mixture.
You got to do what you got to do. You got to save the money. Mm-hmm. You got to twerk a little bit, you know?
Not me. She's talking about in women in general.
Women in general. You gotta make all the bags move.
Yeah. Every single bit. So I appreciate y'all listening. This is another episode of Mez Drinks and Chill, and we out of here.
Peace.
Peace. Yeah, thank you for listening. Make sure y'all follow us on Instagram, Mez Drinks and Chill.